Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Oh, I'm way over here. I'm over here now. Soon Tor will say he's so busy he can't start the show until 10. Well, it's not that. It's that I pay him to be on this show, but I heard him on that. I heard that he went on Mike's show at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm a little confused. I'll be honest. I'm a little confused. I'm sure it'll be fine though. David Slott, thank you for becoming a new YouTube member here on the program. It is Both Types of Sports. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you find your podcasts, consider subscribing for free. YouTube.com/Chad Duke Show and vice versa. If you would like to listen to the podcast for free, you can subscribe to Spotify, iTunes, any of those places, or they do that sort of thing. So thank you, David. Let's see here. Largemouth Ass, $10 already. Thank you so much for the super chat, Largemouth Ass. Hey, Tor, how excited should Steelers fans be for Caleb Johnson? Let's go ahead and bring the young man on. He can answer all these salacious accusations that are being levied at him. Hello, Gigantor.
Oh, hey, Shoot. Good to talk to you.
How are you?
I'm doing okay. I saw Jay-Z had a song called Can't I Live. My song would be Waiting to Die.
Oh, okay.
So if that's any status on Gigantor, that's where I'm at. Caleb Johnson is going to be another vending machine running back that the Steelers continue to have in their arsenal, 1,000-yard runner. You're going to expect more than he actually produces. It's going to be a fall in the line. James Conner, Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, Caleb Johnson, all capable of 1,000 yards, all capable of just being below the bubble of a star.
I love Iowa running backs. You know, I'm a big Liddell Betts guy. He's 21. He's born in 2003. Just fucking driving me nuts. 225. You're right, though. He already is wearing the same uniform. You know, he just looks like one of those guys the Steelers find and they plug in. It is interesting, though, that since I'm trying to think, Fast Willie Parker was kind of an electric running back. But am I missing anybody? Is it always kind of like, I don't want to say near miss backs, but you're right. They just seem to be kind of right below elite, even though what you think about with Pittsburgh, no matter how ineffective it is that smash mouth fucking line up in the eye and run the ball down their throat type of team.
Rashard Mendenhall was great, but he was never great.
Le'Veon Bell. How about Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell. His couple years were really special because he was bringing a new style of running that, or not an old, not a new style, but bringing an old style of running to the modern game with patience and very pitter patter delivery before I hit the hole and run through your face. He was awesome before he lost his mind.
He's crazy. Thank you, Large Math Ass, for the super chat. Cool story, bros. We do accept super chats on this YouTube channel. Thank you for being here. Please hit the like button. He says, hit the cash button, you cowards. We like the cash super chats, but the most important thing is the like button and spreading the word. We are YouTube exclusive now, so we'd like to get the word out there for people to watch us live. So thank you if you can help us with that, and certainly thank you to anyone who is willing to put their money where their motherfucking mouth is. Weird day, Tor. First of all, we haven't done a show since the draft, so that's kind of strange. But the Justin Tucker thing, I looked at my feed on X and it's everyone tripping all over themselves to talk about him being released. Nobody will mention the accusations that are levied against him now. It just, I think they're furiously clickbaiting. I'm just fucking disgusted at how media as a whole works and how very little of it seems to be doing the right thing and the timely thing. And it really just seems to be about beating everybody to the punch on the initial report and milking a salacious story over and over again. I think you and I haven't talked a lot of since Shedeur Sanders has been drafted, but no matter what I think about that, I think the whole thing was exacerbated by the media. The same thing with Bill Belichick and his chick. It's just everything feels unctuous right now. And everyone tripping all over themselves to make sure they got the controversial kicker. And by the way, if there was nothing going on in his personal life, he played like dog shit last year. They're talking about releasing him during the season. This moving kickers means nothing to me unless your last name is Vinatieri.
Yeah, this was a really unfortunate like afternoon of football Twitter. Mita Kimes was irritating. Was this tone necessary?
When is she not irritating? When is that whole panel not irritating?
You know what? I don't think it comes as a big shock that football fans and sports fans don't really prefer to be nagged at by men or women. But yeah, if you are someone that does constantly seem to nag about issues, and issues that are certainly haven't gone through all the proper trials of the justice system yet, and you're just quick, the first one to raise your loudspeaker and not even rain on a parade, but just bring new unneeded rain into an already faltering parade. Very annoying day. I'm glad everybody is really approaching the off season with such good intentions.
Yeah, I think, look, man, people hate Jemele Hill, but at least Jemele Hill decided it was more important for me to be an activist than it is to report on sports. You can do whatever you want. Like, if I don't agree with you politically or socially, I don't give a fuck. But don't sit there and make Marvel movies. Don't sit there and talk about sports and pretend like that's what you're here to do. You're here to slip the jab anytime you can. So go off and do that full time. It's fine with me. DC Sports Mark, thank you, buddy. $4.99. Did Tor ask your blessing before going on the Mike O'Mara show? Well, he hardly needs to ask for my blessing, certainly not my permission. I said this to Josh Stroka, which I said to Gigantor. I would have appreciated a text just because it's a little weird, in the same way I would have appreciated a text on a number of things that happens when there's people from other shows doing other things and they're kind of established on this show. But they didn't need my permission or anything like that. How did that go, by the way? I'm going to guess Mike didn't let you say all that much.
Oh.
I love Mike, and Mike's done a lot of nice shit for me, but he does not like to interview people. He wants to tell you what he feels while you're on the phone. I've been in that situation many times. Man. How'd it go? I did not hear it.
It went fine. Josh Soroka, very good friend of the show, the program.
He's a good man.
Reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like to talk draft. So it means Josh wanted to talk draft and then I guess have Mike join into the conversation, which was fine. It was fine. Yeah. It was 30 minutes. It was 8 a.m. And we just knocked it out. It seemed pretty painless from my end. Other people, DC Sports Mark, it seems to be very invested in this guest spot that took 30 minutes on a Thursday.
30 minutes. Jesus Christ. I could barely get you for an hour.
I was told 15.
Yeah, I would. I'll always be indebted to Mike for many reasons. But one time I went out when he was doing his show in his house in Manassas, and it was him and Oscar and Rob. And I was the guest, and I went out there before I had to drive into DC to do my radio show. And I think I said 16 words total in half an hour. I was just there to listen.
It seemed like my prep was not to prep. My prep wasn't to have 1,000 names that I could fire on someone that isn't in the nitty gritty of football. So just generically talking about the draft and trying to make a couple yucks. That was my stratagem. Yeah. I think that a lot of draft people try to outsmart hosts and 100%. Try to outsmart listeners. And that just comes off as irritating if they can't do it. Like Kyle Brandt, incredibly smart guy and can cover all topics needed. He has a good way of dumbing things down for the dummies like me that want to get a morning sports take and do it in a way that it's like not rubbing me in a wrong way. Like, oh, this guy thinks he's just because he's living it doesn't mean that he has to speak like it's all he lives.
I think that goes both ways too. There's a, I won't name any names, but you can probably guess who I'm talking about. There's a lot of sports talk hosts, when they have a guest on, they want to swing their dick around and like let the guest know. Like when I'm having a guest on, it's because they're an expert in the field and I am not. And I never had an ego about that. And I think that more hosts, even if they are knowledgeable about a topic, should approach it that way. It's like, why are you having this guy on if you just want to bloviate for a 4-minute question to set up for, you know, your so-called expert to come on and then feel like you've taken and answered all the questions yourself? So I understand what you're saying, but it definitely does go both ways with certain individuals. Yeah.
A curious host is a good host when it comes to a guest, and an overprepared, I'm just going to try to go jargon for jargon to click the, that's clicks the exit button for me immediately. I'm out. Yeah. I will punch out immediately.
Yep. Thank you, DC Sports Mark. Josh Kim, the Chad Duke Show's radio's Donna Chang, $1.99. Tor does TMOS SPWAC spelling, does CDS only fair. Well, I mean, look, there's people have been trying to get some sort of a beef between me and Mike's show for years, and there is none. I don't have any beef with Mike, and he has no beef with me as far as I know. And we both have a lot of stuff in common. Like, I like those guys. I love Josh. Josh has helped my fucking show out immensely. So I'd have SPWAC on. I just, you know, other than to just come hang out. If he wanted, if he said, hey, I'm going to come out of the studio and hang out, fuck yeah, let's do it.
I should have texted you. My naivete is through the roof. This is not, if you're DMing me about pulling works, you're not going to get responses from me, for the listening audience.
Did somebody want to pull a work while you're on the mic show?
Someone's accusing me of pulling works.
How are you, what work would you be doing?
Exactly. It's been a weird roller coaster.
You got to tell me now. What? Don't tell me who it is, but you can tell me like the gist of it, can't you?
Yeah. People are as, hey, great job. Way to pull that work. I'm like, no, there's no work. I was asked by Josh to talk draft, and I talk draft. That's what it was.
What is the? Do you know what work means?
Trying to pull a war. Like people have DM'd me about with their theories of just saying like way to pull that work.
Just keep repeating work over and over again. What does that mean?
I do in a bit, I guess, on mic. I was very confused as well.
Oh, that you were going on and you didn't say I'm Tor from the Chad Dukes show. So that means you're pulling some sort of the wool over his eyes.
Yeah, that's what they were trying to get at.
Who gives a fuck?
DC Sports Mark does. So does Josh Kim.
Hey, look, man, those are my guys. If DC Sports Mark cares, I told you I need 10,000 of him. I need his arrows to blot out the sun. Here he is again. $4.99. Will both types of sports be broadcasting live from the NFL and DC 2027 show field trip? Well, that was my first topic, Tor. I don't know if it was yours, but big announcement today. Lots of seething, lots of coping with the owner of the Commanders and the commissioner of the NFL standing next to DJT. There's people that weren't happy about that. But if you're going to announce the draft being on the mall in Washington, D.C., doing it from the White House with the sitting president making the announcement, it's pretty fucking baller, whether or not it was Biden or Trump or Kamala Harris or what have you. I had a pretty strong take about this on my show today behind the paywall. I'm happy for Washington sports fans because, Tor, this seems really like they're riding an incredible wave of momentum right now, what with the NFC Championship game, Rookie of the Year, successful draft, prying Debo Samuel away, to go along with new owner, new general manager working out. You've got the hottest young player in the league. You're moving back to Washington, D.C. So many ducks in a row. This feels like a continuation of that. Objectively, I think you know what my thoughts are on this. This is a transient market. This is a market where a lot of people come to visit. A lot of people come here to see the monuments, the museums, the cherry blossoms, the government, all the shit that happens here. It ain't going to mean as much here as it does in Green Bay. If it were in Cleveland, if it does in Buffalo or Kansas City or some of these blue chip markets where you don't have shitload, like they're the ones traveling to see them play the Titans or the Raiders or some of these destination spots. So I'm happy for DC sports fans. If they're happy for this from a traffic perspective, get fucked. I'm so grateful again that I don't work downtown anymore, but I really wish they would have kept up the trend of, you know, taking it to Detroit, taking it to one of these places that people aren't, you know, touristing it up on a regular basis.
Pittsburgh is going to put on a show.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
At the draft. And it's going to stink that it's DC that is kind of breaking the streak of really good drafts in a row. The Nashville draft, I know, I think it was raining, but still did well. Detroit was awesome. Green Bay was awesome. Pittsburgh's going to rule. And then DC is going to be DC. And you're right. But for the football world, DC's been pretty quiet since 2012 with the players and the culture. They'll get a Monday night game. They'll show the Iwo Jima Memorial. They'll do a production B-roll bit at Ben's Chili Bowl. And then they'll get back to the game, the slaughtering that Washington Redskins fans, Commanders fans have been used to. But now that maybe a team is good and they are young and they're exciting and they're fresh and there's not some stink around it, try to make that run. I respect it. It's overwhelming, I think, for me to see the change in damn near a year now from the thoughts of the draft, thoughts of the team before the draft last season and before the season last season, to sitting here now, like, what, DC's hosting a draft?
Yeah.
You couldn't have pried that guess out of me. If I had 32, it would have been in the last five of who's getting a draft in 3 years. And now they got one. Good. Represent well. Everyone behave. Everyone be good football fans. And then maybe they'll come back. And maybe you'll have more exciting events in your area.
This is going to sound weird, but I'd rather Cincinnati get it. Like, I'd rather I was spitballing, like, should Charlotte get the draft? But, like, the fuck have they earned? Like, I would like for it to be a town that's paid some dues and a town that doesn't have as much going on for it, because Los Angeles is constantly getting rewarded. New Orleans is constantly getting rewarded. Miami, Atlanta, it's all the similar names. So it's like, this is such a unique event and it's so uniquely football, like what it's turned into, that I kind of wanted to, I like the vibe you were talking about where Detroit's killing it and people are saying nice things about Detroit, Michigan, and people are saying nice things about Green Bay, Wisconsin. It's like, let's roll them bones, man. Let's see if we can have it in fucking Buffalo. You know, let's see if it's nice enough to do it outside or Cleveland or one of these other places.
The NFL draft is like the deluxe car wash package coming to your city. Like, you could go and you could roll through and get the standard and where it just sprays the sides, but if you get that deluxe, that washes off all the grime from underneath. You're getting the wax applied after the second go round. Like, it just is good for the city. It's good for people to go there, have a better impression of it. I'd give it to everywhere above what's our dividing north south. Is it Mason Dixon line?
The Mason Dixon line, yes.
Everything above the Mason Dixon line should have a crack at the draft before we ever go back below. And if we go back below, we should go back incrementally where we're just going to keep on going latitude by latitude by latitude until we hit Miami. And then we can restart the cycle.
Tell me if you like this idea. Taking the NFL draft to a crazy college sports town, to Tuscaloosa, to Rocky Top, to places like that that don't have a pro team, but they have this passion for college football that are probably going to be knowledgeable about the draft. People would travel there. You'd have that college fucking environment. Maybe you bring game day in to fucking broadcast live from it. Like, I think there would be so much fun potential for crossover there and completely unique settings and scenarios that nobody ever thought we'd get an NFL draft. I think that would kill for the league.
Shoot, you just gave the suits in Connecticut a bunch of throbbers thinking about a collaboration NFL college football draft mega weekend. It would be great. The only thing that holds me back on it is I like there being some type of tangible difference between college football and NFL. I like knowing, hey, these are the big leagues, kid. You better get learned to these new big time cities. And I think this past draft really sold me on the first round pick being selected in that city and watching the eruption from the crowd. You get an instant crowd favorite, instant star. That first round selection, everyone's fired up.
Yeah.
The Matthew Golden pick in Green Bay this year, chills. If I watch it again tonight, I will get the same chills. Like, wow, that dude just join the team, and the whole stadium of fans just watching him join the team. Like, he's
there was extra spice on that because it also was a giant middle finger to Aaron Rodgers, and you know they did something they hadn't done in fucking decades.
It's not like taking a guard. If it was held in Minnesota and Minnesota picked their Landon Jackson, their guard, or Donovan Jackson rather. I don't think we're popping like that. A big, sure, fast wide receiver. Start to think about the offense. That gets the people fired up.
Okay. Either way, it's cool for DC, and it's a nice win, and the Capitals are playing. I remember doing radio when there was a couple of nice stories in town, like two or three, and it's cool. Like there's an episode, an issue of ESPN the magazine where it's about DC sports, and it was OV, and it was I think it was RG3, it might have been 2012. Capitals were playing well, and maybe it was Beal and Wall. I couldn't remember the conglomerate it was, but you never see anything like that. You never see any of it, and it was so cool to see that cover and feel kind of that positive energy with just so many misery Mondays and fucking just, all right, of course Kevin Durant's not going to come here. I mean, so many of those stories over and over again. So when you can get a little bit of momentum here, it's fun, because you also have to deal with the fact that you're infested by everybody that's from every other part of the country that leaves their part of the country to fucking come here and make a living.
I can root for I'm starting to see who's going to be like Arlington bar lifers or Northern Virginia, DC crowd lifers from the guys that I was hanging out with the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm starting to be happy for them. They're going to the games. They're all invested. Like they're for some reason I'm happy for them, and they're all just let me do a spot on the show, man. Oh, let me tell Dukes about the Skins. I'm like, oh my God, shut up. Shut up. But I'm happy for those guys because they're genuinely like in the community and trying to go, you know, be a part of it.
Someone's trying to tell me about the Skins?
Yeah.
Oh.
I did problems. I vetted them.
Well, just let them down easy, please. Tell them it's not 2012 anymore. That's all I ask.
They don't want to believe, Shoot.
Sure. I had a guy that came into the store today. He goes, oh, I thought you moved to North Carolina. And I was like, what? And he goes, yeah, that's what everyone says. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? All right, this is the magazine, the 2012 October 15 ESPN, the magazine, Washington, D.C. sports cover. And if you take a look here, let's see. Oh, look, there's Steven Strasburg. There's Redskins. Yes, we can. What else? RG3, Wall and Nene. Wall and Nene, yeah. Hilario. All right, they stretched a little bit there. But there's Rock the Red. I think Nene's fucking knees are still clicking and clacking on their way out of town at this point. But
God, that was the almost like a tribute to all the bad slogans that DC tried to get over. And now I'd take any of them over Raise Hail.
Yeah, now there's a picture of Dan Snyder on a button that says mistakes were made. That's very funny. All right. Yeah, we don't get that a lot. Although I bet fucking Jaden. So there's a rumor that it's going to be Jaden and Lamar on the cover of Madden this year. Did you hear that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, just give it to one of them. Lamar's already been on. Just give it to Jaden. Make him a star.
I'm with you. I don't like the cop out of putting two people on the cover of Madden. Like, I feel like they've been going to that well too often recently.
The last time I liked it was Madden 10, and that was with Troy Polamalu, Larry Fitzgerald on the cover after that incredible Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl, where it felt like, you know, I was cool. I think I was pulling for the Cardinals there, but it was such a good game. I would have taken either of them, and they both played exceptionally the year prior. That was the last time I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense, and that's cool with me. That was actually a cool move by EA.
I don't know how anybody could root for the Steelers in that Super Bowl. It was Kurt Warner. It was Larry Fitzgerald. The Cardinals had never done anything. I mean, it was just
a wild card team.
It was such a beautiful underdog story. And then that was the Santonio Holmes.
Yeah.
The Immaculate Extension, I believe is what they called that. Thank you.
God.
Thank you very much. All right. So this story kind of sucks, but it's the off season. I figure if we're going to do it, the Abdul Carter number jersey bit is growing hair. I don't know how you feel about Gronk Tor. He's fucking kind of annoying to me. I know how you feel about the podcast that he's on here, but I pulled him talking about it, and I saw who's the dude that's on NFL Live with Kimes and Orlovsky. Is it it's not Booger McFarlane. It's he used to be a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Somebody in the chat will let me know.
Marcus Spears?
Might be Marcus Spears. He's pretty good. Like he's probably the least annoying of all the people that are on that fucking show, except for maybe Dan Graziano. He had a similar take to this as Gronk does, but let me play this and then we can respond.
Yeah, I think with the third pick in the draft, who's going to be a star, but was he serious Was he serious asking for LT's number? Yeah, you're a high draft pick, but LT is an absolute legend. The best to do it. One of the best defenders of all time. And let me tell you, brother, like, you got to prove yourself. Just, that's crazy just asking for LT's number. And I'm glad that LT shut him down like that.
LT did the LT move, man. LT, that was such an LT response.
You should say LT more. So that's your boy, by the way.
He looks baked, and Gronk looked like he was reading. This is a show I will not watch.
Gronk is a fucking buffoon. Like, I'm sure he's a doughy-headed, fucking likable dude. Like, I'm sure if I met him, he'd be fun, but he really comes across as a not intelligent person. I went through this a little bit, Tor. Abdul Carter, of course, wanted it. It wasn't just Lawrence Taylor. I don't know why that's being backdoored. Phil Simms' family, by the way, also told this guy to go pound sand. LeVar tried to do this. LeVar wanted to go to New York and wear 56 because he wore 56 for the Redskins, LeVar Arrington. And that's why he wore 55, is because, you know, you're not going to wear Lawrence Taylor's number. And LeVar was the first overall pick, and he was established, and he made a Pro Bowl, and that didn't happen. I'm part of me wants to say it doesn't hurt to ask, you know, it doesn't hurt to say, hey, I'd like to wear this number. Hey, can I ask for permission? But also part of me says, why the fuck don't you just want to go out there and make your own way and have your number be retired for the New York Giants? It's just kind of an interesting parallel between the mindset of what you think an alpha fucking first round draft pick like Abdul Carter would want to have happen instead of getting turned down twice in a row for two Hall of Fame guys.
Yeah, it's I get the, and I think it's ambitious to try to do that. It's kind of setting yourself up in a wow, you know, I'm setting the expectations pretty high for myself. That's my confidence level. That's how it's coming off to me. So on average in the NFL, there are 5 retired jerseys per team, 163 total. Feels low. Every team that I watch, I'm like, oh, well, why isn't that number retired? I think they should retire more. I don't think you should unretire numbers. I think kind of the fun of being an athlete, at least for me, was, man, if I do really well, maybe they'll retire my jersey. It wasn't, I had played at the same high school as my dad and all my uncles. I didn't wear their numbers. I didn't wear their stuff. If I was assigned it happily, but I had a choice to choose my number, I was lucky enough, I chose my own damn number. Right. I think a lot of athletes want to choose. There's something about that. It puts you in your own little spotlight. Personally, for me, it was, I'm wearing 60. I'm wearing 65. Whatever happens, that's a reflection of me and what I put on the field. Not whoever was wearing this before me, better player, worse player, didn't matter. So I just think that NFL legends, not enough of them have their jerseys retired. So why are we unretiring them for the guys that whose franchise has actually rewarded them with a retirement?
The part of this that I don't like, Tor, to kind of dovetail on what you said, is I don't like potentially making the Hall of Fame guys, right, look like assholes. Like, you're going to look selfish for not letting a young player use your number in certain circles. And they've already got theirs. Like, there was this speech one time, somebody was accusing The Rock of being part-time. And he had this great line where he said, you can call me part-time, but I've already done everything you're doing. I've already been there. Like, I'm above that. I'm past that. Now I do it because I want to. Now I do it because it's a passion of mine. I want to come back. I want to be involved. But you can call me part-time, but I've already done everything. I've accomplished everything you still want to accomplish. And Phil Simms is not going to come out and say, no, I don't want you to fucking wear my jersey. Or Lawrence Taylor might. Who knows? But it's like, you should. Like, you is hanging in the rafters for a reason, and they don't do it all that often. And so young guys asking, they're still the apple of everybody's eye. He's the young superstar player, and people are going to think you look curmudgeon. I think it's cool that Warren Moon is letting Cam Ward, you know, wear his jersey, but I don't know that it's the right way to go, because once that shit's retired, if you're going to dust it off out of the mothballs, it's like the Kiss going on a retirement tour every 3 years my entire fucking life. It don't mean nothing anymore.
I would just say, go break my records, and then your number will overshadow my number. Go ahead, break them all, do it all. But if you do it in my jersey, then it's just one of us. If you do it in your jersey, then it's two of us hanging there, making the entire operation and the brand of our team look stronger. Do these guys really care about that when they're 65? I don't know. I don't know what it feels like to have that glory that late in life, and if it fades or if it fizzles or if it's still with you as strong as it was when you were 25. But right now, I'm knowing I don't want people. If I went out and caught the biggest blue channel catfish on Kerr Lake this week or sometime of this year, and I had that rod hanging in Bugsy's tackle shop with my fish, I'm not letting some punk kid roll in there and take my rod off the wall to try to catch a bigger fish. Use your own rod. Get that thing framed up. Do that. That's how it should operate. And I don't think it's selfish to think so. It's almost diminishing accomplishments and forgetting the past and the history in which the NFL is so rich in. It's a glorious league for history because it's still pretty new. It's not like going back to the early 1900s with baseball. It all really started mattering in about 1950. So that gives us 75 years of beautiful history to really churn out. And most people don't count the first 16 years pre-Super Bowl.
Right.
So you're looking at 61 years, and it's not too much to overload yourself with, but every team's got guys that you just got to respect, because then you could be one of those guys that someone 40 years from now respects.
The what always sticks in my craw, and before, when the Redskins were redskinning it the fuck up, it took them till 2024 to retire Daryl Green's number. Like, what the fuck are you thinking? And then they have this weird policy, like they did for many years, where it wasn't retired, but it was quote unquote out of circulation. Like, we're not going to give him Art Monk's jersey or Dexter Manley or whoever the fuck that it is. And I just retire it. Like, retire Daryl Green's jersey. You don't have, as great as that team has been, you know, at times during its history, they don't have the Staubachs or the Bradshaws and the Franco Harris. Like, they don't have these massive lists of fucking household names. They just don't. There's two or three of them. And Daryl Green was at the very top of it. So yeah, I think you do retire him, especially now that everybody can fucking go out there and wear zero and wear single digit jerseys.
Exactly. And it was kind of give an inch and now take a mile thing with the jersey numbers. When the NFL allowed skill players to start receivers start wearing one, and everyone starts wearing whatever numbers except for offensive linemen at certain position groups, that doesn't mean you get to go to the most famous and decorated player that you ever that's ever been with the team you just got drafted by and say, no, I actually don't want the new jersey number that they gave me. I don't want to go look sweet and silky in a number five. I want your number. That doesn't. No. What'd you want? You wanted the freedom to wear four. You wanted to wear 16 as a corner. Why do you need it? Why do you need a Charles Woodson 21, which I don't even know if it's retired by Oakland or Green Bay. Should be by both.
Probably by both.
Why do you need it?
Well, they might have looked up to him. Like, I've always, I mean, I never, of course, was ever going to have any risk of playing as, but whenever I made a custom number for myself in Madden or in any sports game, I was 44 for John Riggins, like every Redskins fan was. And so, like, that's the number that I want if given my druthers. But I understand what you're saying, and it's certainly more competitive when you get to that level. Speaking of jerseys, I see your bio there. The rivalry jerseys, now help me out here. I read this story. Every NFL team is going to be required to wear a rivalry jersey at least once every 3 years. Was that crazy purple, the Ravens jersey last year, where it was kind of this light purple matte colored helmet that they had, and all the fucking horns up there, the Hater boys went crazy for it, or is this new to this season?
This is new to this season. Last year's Ravens, I believe, was just an alternate. This is the NFL launching City Connect uniforms without them, without calling them City Connect uniforms. And they're only supposed to, the only saving grace it has for me is that it's that you break them out in rivalry games. Like, Atlanta will wear it against the Saints and vice versa. It's not like you're going to see Denver playing Philly and they're both in their rivalry uniforms. Like, they don't have a rivalry. So they're trying to kind of work around the tired City Connect stuff and say, oh, here's a brand new jersey to get you all fired up for it. I hate these people in New Orleans anyways. I don't need a jersey. I don't need a damn jersey to let me start spewing off foul things on Twitter about their team and their GM and their dork coach and their awful quarterback room. I don't need the jersey to reflect that. I have my hate inside my heart already where, you know, I keep it nice and safe there. I just don't need more City Connect jerseys. Once I stop being able to watch the NBA and clearly identify who's playing who on a court where I still can't identify who's playing who, sure. I said, I'm losing the plot. I lost it. I don't know who's playing. That's an issue for a casual viewer.
Would you be able to tell this is the Arizona Diamondbacks? This is their City Connect.
I wouldn't, and they abandoned a beautiful desert and burgundy Serpientes from years prior. Baseball is in a weird spot. They got the Giants rolled out a City Connect jersey. It looks like a weed bag font on their front, right on the front of their jersey. It's rough. It's they're trying. The MLB is trying.
They're trying too hard. I think there's a team in Nashville that's called the Snot Otters, and I'm like, I don't want to be disgusted. Like, can we fuck it? It's if it's a rivalry tour, if it's a true rivalry, you don't want them wearing anything else. You want them going out there waving the flag of your fucking country, like the one that your dad rooted for, like the Redskins and the Cowboys. I want the star and the man turn profile. And I want them bashing heads. And of course, we lose on Thanksgiving every year. Like, I don't want you dressed up like fucking the Oklahoma City Thunder. That the NFL is supposed to be kind of above that. They're supposed to be above having a fucking TikTok patch on the side of their goddamn jersey. Like, you make enough money, for God's sakes.
Now, these could just be classic one-offs. Like, it could be a possible, again, Atlanta, for instance, could be red helmet, red jersey, gray pants,
right.
Throwing it back to the 90s. Like, I just don't think that that's the route that they're going to go, and they're going to try to color rush it and make it minimalist instead of the classic, I always default, Bears-Packers, Sunday Night Football. I know what those teams look like. I know how those teams feel about each other. I know how I feel when I watch those teams, and that's fired up. I've never needed an appetizer when watching that game. Appetizers at every dinner? Yes, please. Appetizer before breakfast? Happily. Appetizer watching the Bears play that get smacked over by the Packers? Don't need it. I'm good.
Who has an appetizer before breakfast? I haven't even considered such a fucking treason.
Some would say that's eating at 2 a.m.
It's a very late supper. Oh, Josh Kim, you could not be more wrong. I sat there for about 10 minutes the other day looking at the White Sox. I wish there was a word I could use. The ones that looks like the bull. It's maybe the ugliest jerseys I've ever seen in my life. And I sat there having basically some sort of a human paradox where I'm like, well, maybe I shouldn't be a part of this world. If people are going to buy these and think these look good, if a room full of people approve these, then there's nothing left for me here.
I have my cognitive coach.
Wow.
I have issues with football teams and the Jordan logo for some reason, where it's UNC football rolling out there and there's a big Jordan logo, or it's Oklahoma football. Same thing. I think they had a Jordan sponsorship. A little weird to me. You got a basketball player in a football jersey. I know it's sweet. I know you're getting a bunch of fresh Jordans, but this is football. Be Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, Reebok. I'd take those back in a heartbeat. Anything. But seeing it at basketball, the crossover stuff, it doesn't work for football.
Did you see the story, speaking of the Jumpman, Bill Belichick's girlfriend forcing her way onto the Dunkin' Donuts? I didn't remember this Dunkin' Donuts commercial, so I didn't know how egregious it was. And then I went back and watched it and saw what a fucking abomination it is. And then the story breaks. Was it today or yesterday that I guess he's finally realizing that this is a bloodbath and he's hiring a big boy publicist, it looks like.
Yeah, yesterday, talking to a former, I think, director or VP of communications with the Bears, trying to get, I think his last name's, I think it might be Brian Faber, top of mind. I'm not certain, but Belichick, this whole thing has spiraled incredibly quickly. This is a total disaster mess. This lady is insane.
Screw. She's nuts.
All I needed to see, I haven't needed to see one thing after that CBS interview. When she scowled and said, no, we're not, that scowl, that mean mug that she had, I'm like, this is Bill Belichick. He's done. That's done. And the only way he gets back and ready for the season, brutal breakup right now in May. He gets to be kind of laser focused, just football, 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 bury myself back in it. UNC compete for the ACC. If she's around for season time, it could be an all-time bloodbath.
I don't think he's got to do that. I mean, Pat Mahomes had to do this with his crazy wife, where you got to check him and you got to have a very straightforward talk about why all of this, like the reason why we're getting all these opportunities is because of what I do on the football field. You can't be up here dressed like Spider-Man villain, even if it gives Tora boner, and do that. The other problem is, if you're UNC, I just don't know how you can look at any of this. I mean, it's been 3 weeks of this whole situation becoming a mockery. And at the center of it is your coach looks like a homeless person on CBS this morning getting cucked with a torn up sweatshirt. He couldn't even be bothered to put a Jumpman polo on. So I'm glad he's taking it seriously. Like, I mean, he seems to be a pretty obstinate guy. He likes to do things his way. But I think you and I both talked about it, Tor. I liked where he was going with his media career. Like, I thought that he had lightened up. He was funny. He had insight. He was taking shots. I'm like, this is great. I never saw this for Belichick. And I felt like there's been 15 steps back now with whatever this relationship is and how much it's impacting every avenue of his life.
It's just really bad optics for the guy who my entire life, genuinely, has been like the apex predator in leadership, the apex
Randy
predator
Orton, sure.
in control, his system, his way, the way that Patriots players would talk about the operation in New England compared to other. Chad Johnson said it was like the military, and he said he needed it. He said he liked it. Guys that were in New England that wanted to thrive and really get after it, lock in like a psychopath, they knew where they needed to go. That's New England. New England was the only place where Randy Moss could have had such a brilliant career resurrection to maximize the last seasons of his prime. And now the crown, the top of that spear is looking like a doddering granddad getting marched around by his spoiled brat granddaughter who's trying to get the inheritance. It looks awful. It looks like he's losing it or slipping. And then you see a clip of him in practice and he looks like it sounds like Bill Belichick. And I get wrapped right back in it. But then I get sucked out the minute that he's walking around with her again.
He's the opposite of Jack Nicholson. Jack Nicholson has been pulling ass. This is going to sound blunt and I apologize, but Jack Nicholson has been pulling ass better than her his entire fucking life. And so he's comfortable with it, right? Like, you're not going to see that shit. Leonardo DiCaprio constantly dating dimes at 25. Like, Belichick was married for 1,000 years. He's a weird antisocial curmudgeonly football guy and he's blinded by the pussy. And the thing that's weird about it, Tor, is I've seen it happen to guys my age, you know, like you've seen it happen. They get married right out of college. They don't know what to do. And then, you know, they lose their fucking minds. I've never seen it happen with somebody in their 70s. I mean, I think that's what's so visually shocking to all of us.
It's really a bummer because this is a role model. I think he was a role model for adults. He really? Was a guy that people follow. I think a lot of, yeah, I think so. I mean, I thought that he was like a guy that I would always look at to like, oh, that's greatness. That's what it takes to really reach it. That is the tip of the spear. And to know he's human and he could have a lady walking all over him just like anyone else. And he's putting his pants on the same way that I am. Ass crack hanging out a little too much. Got his lady mad at him. Like too much. No, it's too real. And we all had the same level of access to Bill Belichick forever. And now it's all flooding in at the same time for everyone.
Too much.
Too much. It's way too much.
You're correct. Belichick has been having conversations with Bears Vice President of Communications, Brian Faber is the gentleman's name. And I think the and I don't want to spend too much more time on this, but the question that broad bristled at was a fucking softball. It wasn't even piercing. It wasn't even driving. It wasn't embarrassing. Belichick had already swatted one of the questions. He could have swatted that one and said she couldn't keep her fucking mouth shut. I've been in the room when the publicist makes it all about themselves, but never for something that is that benign. DC Sports Mark. Oh, this is for you, Tor. You want to read this?
Tor, how's the talent in New Jersey compared to Nova? Be honest, Italian hotties?
Time or the place for that, DC Sports Mark?
There's a lot of pretty women up here. A lot of intimidatingly pretty women that have me swallowing my tongue upon start of conversation, DC Sports Mark. Trying to get better at small talk. Talking to one person, one stranger a day. That's what I'm doing now. Just trying to actually become conversational with these strangers up here. It's going decently.
You're trying to become a human being is what it sounds like.
Trying to. I don't know how successful it is. I'm so fucking weird. I'm just
if I don't there's some things I envy you about. There's some, this is not one of them. If I had to go to find a strange woman and talk to her right now, I'd rather put my head on the fucking railroad tracks. I I can't think of anything that sounds less appealing to me at this point in my life.
There was a girl who very talented, had a WWE wrestler body, ass was, it just floored me. And
why are you bothering? Why even wasting your fucking,
okay, I good. Did it. I said, hold, no, go home. This is, you're not going to do anything here. You got to regroup and find a game plan. And I better not ever see her again, because if I do, I'll probably piss my pants and maybe load up the back. Just try to talk to her.
It's like, go home and soak your fucking head. All right, I pulled this. These are two pictures from TVs, which is, of course, nubs, as the kids would say. But here's the question I wanted to ask you, Tor. More hilarious quarterbacking room right now in the league, the New York Football Giants or the Cleveland Football Browns, respectively, the Giants, Russell Wilson, Jackson Dart, the draft pick, Jameis Winston, and Tommy DeVito, who Rich Eisen really lives in love with saying Tommy Cutlets. He still thinks that's very funny. And then the Cleveland Browns, Deshaun Watson, Kenny Pickett, Wacko for Flacco, Dylan Gabriel, who they drafted, and Shador Sanders, whom they drafted. Which one is more gonzo in your opinion?
The Giants are more gonzo somehow than me. I can't believe Russell Wilson became, his fall off was so sudden and shocking that I'm still not recovered from the whiplash. Jameis Winston hanging around as the people's favorite, but he can't ever get a real shot. And when he does, he pulls a Jameis Winston, throws a pick. It's like, oh, there's Jameis. Jackson Dart, frat kid superstar, going to be an absolute character in New York. Tommy DeVito, why is he a distraction on your team? Just a distraction as a likable triple backup quarterback that has a nickname. My backup quarterback doesn't need a nickname.
No.
Holy hell. If my backup quarterback has a nickname, his nickname is going to be cut or traded or pink slip, because I have a starting quarterback that's supposed to have nicknames, not the backup and not the reserve. None of that. When I heard Astro Dobbs or Space Dobbs or anything about him, never needed Josh Dobbs on my team ever again. Got too big. And Cleveland, two rookies. I'll have them swinging on two rookies and Kenny Pickett. I'll happily.
Well, this is interesting. I don't think Tommy DeVito is on maybe the practice squad. I don't know if he's still eligible, but I think either Jameis or Russell Wilson is going to have to go, right? Like, I would assume one of those guys is going to be the starter, and then Jackson Dart is the backup. Here's the Browns. The Deshaun Watson thing is such a fucking gong show, and he's going to be mentioned every time everyone's mentioned, so that makes it weird. Kenny Pickett, this poor son of a bitch, he gets traded for, and they don't just draft one quarterback. They draft two fucking quarterbacks, and they bring in Joe Flacco. So it's like, bitch, you're not even the veteran guy to help push these rookies. You're now competing with these rookies. Do you see a scenario where because here's, Flacco's got a roster spot. Like, I'd have to assume he is the presumptive starter. Do you see a world where Kenny Pickett beats Dylan Gabriel and Shador Sanders soundly enough where the Browns cut one of those guys? Because I don't think they're going to cut Shador. I don't think they can. And Dylan Gabriel invested a third round pick in. So Pickett would have to soundly thump them in mini camps and then training camps and in preseason to stay on this team. I would assume that's the way it is.
Kenny Pickett might be saying bye-bye. He's like Marcus Mariota. Like, that's what you're going to get from Kenny Pickett. Like, he can play quarterback. He just doesn't always do it good. Like, he's never going to do it great. He's never going to be great. But if you have a good quarterback, then you can have him competing and maybe get a three-year contract, maybe pull a Sam Darnold. It's not in the stars for Pickett. It's really rough. And then some team's going to pick him up. I if my team needed a backup, I'd be thrilled to have Kenny Pickett come in. He's not going to win a game for me from quarter one to quarter four, but I bet he can hold on to a lead for the fourth quarter if my guy goes down with a bad rib. I think the Saints might have an even worse quarterback room this year as well, featuring Derek Carr.
For the season, sure.
Tyler Shuck, second round pick, 26, two shoulder replacements, rookie. Spencer Rattler, who was not very good last year, and Jake Haener. Fourth reserve, the fake model that was also doing PEDs to try to stay in the NFL. That is a comedy of errors. The Giants might be the most entertaining team in football this season, though.
Yeah, the Saints might be worse. It just doesn't have the clown car factor that these two teams do, in my opinion. I look, I don't think I heard enough people shitting on Jackson Dart. If he could have figured out a way to get to Pittsburgh, like if we're looking at a situation where it's Aaron Rodgers and then Jackson Dart, I like that. I don't like this. I don't like anything about New York's ability to develop quarterbacks. They clearly just took two fucking wild swings at the two best veterans in their opinions. Like I have no fucking, at least the Brown, it is clear to me what happened to the Browns tour. They had a plan. They brought Flacco and Pickett in and they drafted Dylan Gabriel. And then they got that hot call from the bat phone and said, you better draft Shedeur Sanders right now. That is your meddlesome fuckhead of an owner screwing up your vision. Like we've all been there. We all know how that goes. So I think I'd vote for New York and it's market number one, you know, God,
that first time where Malik Nabers turns around with his head hands in the air after a violently overthrown pass or an awful gaudy interception. And he's just Russell Wilson standing there. I mean, the replay value is going to be so incredible. And it's New York. What is Russell Wilson doing there? That is too big of a, it's too big for you now. Denver was too big for you. And Denver is a fine football town, respectable. But you couldn't hack it there. You couldn't hack it in Pittsburgh. Blue chip franchise. This is not where your bread is buttered. You need to go somewhere very low key, not New York.
Was it Nabers that had the quote this week? I thought it was great. He goes, he asked him like, why so many wide receivers were divas? And he's like, look, man, we run a lot of routes. He's like, we're running the whole practice. He goes, we put in a lot of preparation. And then our performance is really chained to whether or not we're getting those fucking opportunities. So you're goddamn right. You know, if we're not, we're going to be pissed off. And I was like, yeah, I totally get that. Even if you're an offensive lineman, you know that every single play, you got a chance to go out there and impose your will. If you're a wide receiver, it's completely tethered to the buffoon that's calling the plays and the idiot that's pulling the trigger. So, like, if you have two of those, you're just going to be the most frustrated guy on the field each and every week.
It was Nabers. Quote, you told me I'd get the ball. Yeah. You kind of make a sense here. You kind of really the receiver is the last guy on the chain where everything has to click for it to go right. Which when I say it out loud like that,
yeah,
why are they paid so exorbitantly much compared to everyone else? I would everything else before that last chain is getting paid in my offense. But if we're getting into operation of how many things have to go right to move the ball down the field,
sure.
Maybe a good receiver makes up for a lot of that also.
Speaking of a good receiver, a little clip I pulled of Travis Hunter. I'm sure you saw this, but the story that I got this from said that his girlfriend bought him a Rolex, and this is his reaction to that. It's a little difficult to understand. There's a lot of guys in the background, but apparently he's not a fan of being given the gift of such a gaudy watch. So let's react to this.
Tell him bust out my AP. Wait, what type of watch this is?
Presidential.
That's the big boy. What that mean?
That's the big boy.
How much that cost?
Oh, yeah, call him. Yeah, it's too big question.
Presidential. Hey, how much does a presidential roadie cost?
Good. I will.
20 minutes. 30,000. I could have bought a new boat, but y'all just ain't give me the money.
That's a good investment, right?
30 to 80. I know. Mm-hmm. I just ain't give me a boat.
Hey, man, stop all that.
This is worth 70? Yeah, y'all tripping. See me.
It's a good investment.
See me, don't expect these type of gifts from me. That ain't happening, my boy. These type of gifts ain't happening, not for me.
That's an investment, man.
So there's a couple of different thoughts I have on this. First of all, if you get a gift, it's pretty rude to act this way. This is the way I act during Secret Santa for the Chad Duke Show. But he's right. And I got into the comments a little bit, but people are shitting on him. First of all, everyone just really shits on his appearance. I don't think he's a bad looking dude. Like, I don't know what everybody's fucking problem is, but they really get on him about it. The second part is they're saying a Rolex is a good investment. I don't know anything about whether or not watches, do they appreciate in value, depreciate? I'm not sure. I'm sure you know more than that. That's not the point. The point is he loves fishing, and a boat, it can be ostentatious, but a lot of times it ain't. It's a means to an end. He wants to go out and actively do something on what is a very expensive thing. I would kill Tor to have a team full of guys that didn't give a shit about jewelry at all and wanted to go fish and had a passion outside of the game that required discipline and learning and improving yourself. Like, it ain't even a fucking question to me, which I think is a better character trait, him being really into jewelry or him being really into fishing. The other side of that, and I saw some people making this point, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, some of the greatest players of all time, really like jewelry. They wear it all over the place. It doesn't hurt them.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound like an old man, but if I had to choose between the two, I know which one I'd rather the guys on my roster be into.
The Rolex is it's a great investment. It's like the default statement for when you just made a really big, you know, purchase out of vanity and you're trying to qualify it. Watches can appreciate and they definitely can, but you need to have the papers. It needs to be upkept. It has to be in very, very good condition. If you're trying to resell it later, like it needs to be professionally maintained. I love it. I love give me a boat. Yeah. I'd take a Rolex. I'd take a boat personally. I'm right down in the middle. You're telling me a guy wants a fishing boat. Get him a fishing boat. He would have been just as happy if his girl got him a bunch of rubber worms, or if his girl got him a bunch of just stuff that he's passionate, that would have helped them fish. Get him a new rod, a Cabela's $500 gift card, whatever it is. He's Travis Hunter. He's going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars and have an incredible boat. But it's like, oh, everyone's saying, oh, it's an investment, bro. It's an investment. Are you his financial advisor?
Yeah.
Are you his guy? You might be. And I could be wrong here. I bet you're not. I bet you're not going to be, you know, going through his accounts and making sure no one's ripping him off, or making sure that he's investing in the S&P, if he's investing in mutual, whatever he's trying to actually invest. It's not with fast flipping watches, which is what you do when you're hurting and you got a niche knowledge of one specific. You could find a bunch of people flipping watches anywhere. It's because all you have to do is really learn watches. You can't learn what Travis Hunter can do on the football field, which will get him exponentially more money than any watch salesman anywhere.
His girlfriend allegedly bought this. She was the one that Dion had to ask to stand up when he was announced as the Heisman winner. She's got the dollar sign tattoos that people were talking about. I think we played that video on the show of her like giving him shit when he was taking pictures with people at an event. I think it's a good thing from what I read is the latest. She's deleted all of her social media and has kind of gone dark, which probably is the smart thing to do. But all of that makes me very, very nervous for the young man, because he really does seem to have a good head on his shoulders. He really seems to have his priorities. And he's, by the way, he might be the most exciting football player that we see in our lifetimes when it's all said and done. I got to watch Barry Sanders.
He's tremendous. Every time I see him, I like him more and more. He's just got a great charisma that's also disarming. He doesn't talk like incredible athlete, NFL player with the ego and the muscles. He talks like a regular guy. And I mean, this gift is like, you know, kudos for a girlfriend getting her boyfriend a watch as a gift. It's always a classy move. It's a good move. It's traditional. It's classic. She got him this watch because she wants a Patek Philippe when he gets his first check. She bought him this watch because she wants the nicest Birkin bag that he can find in Jacksonville.
Whose money is it? Whose money is she using? Why do you think he said, why didn't y'all just give me the money?
Yeah.
Because I think we know whose money that was. I mean, I don't know specifically, but who else's money would it have been? I don't know, man. But I do feel the way about him going to Jackson. Remember when Durant was in Oklahoma City? Mm-hmm. And one of the things about him leaving and going to Golden State or going to wherever he was going was like, it just meant more that he was killing it in that town. Right. Yeah. Like there's just we talked about this with the draft. This kid going to Jacksonville could be so big for Jacksonville. Right. Like nobody thinks the Jacksonville Jaguars and thinks they have the most exciting player on the planet. Wow. Look, you got to pay to watch these guys play football. Even when they're good, it's, you know, Mark Brunell and Keenan McCardle, and no disrespect to these guys, but Jacksonville's never had what he could bring, especially with the other wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., they have down there. I mean, if Trevor Lawrence can't fucking ball with these two guys, well, I already know everything I need to know about him, but we certainly will know everything about that with his nose attaching, of course, at the top of his scalp, as you pointed out many times, Gigantor.
I'm going to try to be nice to that guy tonight. He hasn't done anything. Travis Hunter's a Florida guy. He's back in Florida. He's going to be a hometown favorite. It's all shaking out to be like pro Jacksonville. I've seen the glazing of their GM Gladstone, who's a creep and a freak, and their head coach is a creep and a freak. And people keep on trying to sell me on like these guys are going to revolutionize football. Fuck off and fuck yourself. I hate those guys. I absolutely hate them. They talk like finance bros that really know Excel. And because they know the shortcut at the top of hand, you think they're geniuses and you think they're gods because you have to look up how to multiply in box 48C. No. Just because they memorize the little codes doesn't mean they're smarter than you or more competent or better with people. When I get a read on something like this, like two freak shows running an NFL ship that has been drastically sinking and underperforming like Jacksonville, that has had drafts and first round picks over and over and gets cycled out, and I'm looking at two buffoons trying to say, oh, we got it, Jacksonville Duval. Oh, look at me. I'm cracked. I'm 34, young GM. Fuck these picks. Shut up.
Jesus Can't stand Christ. Them.
God, I just don't know. I'm so angry at these guys. I don't know why. I really get angry when I start thinking about these two bozos ruining an NFL
team. I think it's because when you look at football, I'm the same way. It's the same way. I don't give a fuck if Mike McDonald is the greatest offensive coordinator of all time. I want my goddamn coaches to look like Mike Singletary. I want them to look like Dan Campbell. This is a big fucking – it's the same reason why this is going to sound sexist. I don't like seeing chicks – on the fucking panel for football. Like, it's a big aggro Cro-Magnon sport, and that's who I want to see fucking talking about it. So when you get these nerd nicks out there, specifically the general managers that were the former scouts that have never even – it just doesn't look right. It doesn't feel right, or at least doesn't to me.
And we also know Jacksonville's been, like, the team rumored to go to England, which just kind of ruins everyone's time here. If we have an NFL team in the U.K., you're going to have a bunch of teams complaining about the travel. It's going to be no one wants to do double duty in England. No one wants to go and have to fly out on Tuesday, set up their whole operation because the Jacksonville Jaguars on the home soil couldn't figure it out for 20 years.
Yeah,
I don't need that. I don't need them in Mexico City. It'd be better than the UK. I don't need them in Canada. It would be better than the UK. But right now it's leaning. How do we get more NFL in Europe? I didn't start a league there. Figure it out. I need the Jacksonville Jaguars in Florida, in the United States, now close to the Gulf of America, to be able to formulate an actual team that resembles competence. Well, These guys don't instill that in me.
How many Battle Hawks tickets does St. Louis have to buy before you just decide? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to fucking have a conversation. Why are we even talking about London until St. Louis gets a football team back? That makes no sense to me. I pulled this
from two teams in Chicago before I put one in London.
I agree. Totally. Was that market three? I put two teams in fucking Houston. I mean, Mark Houston's humongous before I move it overseas. So this is our buddy Warren Sharp, a friend of the show, and he put out the 2025 NFL strength of schedule, regular season. It goes from most difficult to least. And one of the things that jumps off the page at me here, Tor, is that first of all, congratulations to you. The Atlanta Falcons are number four on this team, on this list. But Warren Sharp, he's a smart guy. The Giants are number one with the hardest schedule. The Browns, that's good luck with that. The two Gonzo quarterback rooms. But the reason I brought this up is number two is the New England Patriots. Okay? The Patriots have had a hell of an offseason that started with making the difficult decision to blow out Gerard Mayo after one season and bringing in Mike Vrabel, who they've been flirting with. But Will Campbell gets drafted. They bring in Morgan Moses. Stephon Diggs is there now. Travion Henderson from Ohio State, they draft him. Kyle Williams from Washington State in the third round. They have done an amazing job of surrounding young Drake May with all of these weapons. And on top of that, you've got a bona fide head coach that can get blood from a fucking stone. I mean, no disrespect to Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Landry and all those guys that could go in Tennessee, but he did a lot with a little. I have an experiment that I want for you here.
Mm-hmm.
How many wins to get to the postseason this year, would you say?
For the New England Patriots?
Yeah.
New England Patriots.
Well, just in the AFC East, like how many wins do you think in the AFC, you know, wild card? I don't know if you think they can win the division, I would assume Buffalo is still the favorite there.
I think you need 11 wins to get into the playoffs.
11 wins. Okay, so if they're going to be in a division with the Dolphins, the Jets, and the Bills, how many wins in the division would you give them?
I would give the Patriots this year 4 wins.
In the division?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I think they sweep the Jets. I think they sweep the Dolphins. The soft-ass Dolphins are going to get worked over.
Okay. And they don't lose. They don't beat the Bills once.
I don't think so.
Okay. So 4 wins in the division. So that means you need 7 wins out of the rest of them to get to 11, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go through it. I want you to tell me which one of these you would call a win, and we'll see how many we need to get to. The New Orleans Saints.
That's a win.
Okay, that's 5. Tampa Bay.
That's a loss.
Okay. Titans.
That's a win.
Cincinnati.
That's a loss.
These are all the road teams, by the way. Baltimore.
That's a loss.
I would agree. The Jets. Oh, we already, no, we're keeping the division games out of it. The Giants. Yep.
That's a win.
Yep. Vegas.
That's a win.
10. Panthers.
They beat the Panthers.
So you're already at 11 wins without beating the Bills once, and Atlanta, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh, you'd have to assume they win one of those.
Right.
So if they can get to 11 wins, Tor, we're not just talking about them making the postseason, especially with the divisional record that you just put out there. The Bills would hold the tiebreakers, but I mean, are we not talking glowingly enough about what we should expect out of the New England Patriots this year, if that's how you're seeing the schedule?
Yeah, even if they split with Miami, they take one from Cleveland, and I think they can compete with the Steelers and still end up where they need to be. So
they play Atlanta in New England, I believe, too.
Atlanta's going to be soft as shit. They're going to get rolled over like a bunch of just so soft. It's unfathomable how angry I'm going to be at that game. But Mike Vrabel has completely turned me around on a team for the last 3 years that I really couldn't be bored with the Patriots. They played boring football. It was slow. It was not big chunk plays. It was ugly. It wasn't great defensively even. And when they were great defensively, they were awful on offense. But Drake May, I watched him play last year. I'm a believer. He looked like he looked like a pro quarterback. He made throws that a good to great NFL quarterback would make at times. Going in with a dude like Mike Vrabel, who I kind of got in a wormhole this past week of just watching Mike Vrabel clips. How did he escape Tennessee alive?
How did
he even get out of that state? I would have been naked running to the border, broad daylight, don't care, to try to catch up to his cab to the airport. They have tremendous potential this year. If they can have a decent – their receivers can be decent, which I think has been holding back quarterbacks of years past recently, where they just can't get open, or it's drops, or it just feels like a Patriots receiver that Brady would have made great, but Jacoby Brissett can't. If it comes together a little bit in New England with Mike Vrabel at the helm, they're going to be dangerous. I think they could push the Bills. I think they pass Miami entirely this year.
I agree, and I think the wheels fall off Miami by mid-season. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a firing by week 6 or 7 in Miami, just because of the way it's unfolding. Tyreek Hill didn't have Tua Tagovailoa in his top 5 quarterbacks this week. Everybody's melting down. Last story I wanted to bring up, and it definitely fucking deserves to be the last story. Brian Schottenheimer, Tor. I forgot. I had to Google it. I think he's the quarterback. Excuse me. The head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. He's already got in there, and he's got his fingerprints all over this fucking organization. If you didn't think this guy was going to bring the fucking wood, you were mistaken, friendos. I mean, it's going to be like Landry 2.0. He has moved Dak Prescott's locker next to Micah Parsons. Yes, and I think that this is probably the first step of many of Big D's rise back to the top of the NFC. Just kidding. This guy's got no fucking power at all. This is going to be a more spectacular misfire than anything else we've seen this offseason. They're going to continue to be mired in mediocrity. And you know what? The longer this goes on, Tor, the more I believe all of those whispers that Jerry Jones is happier than a pig in shit with all the revenue that they have, with selling out that building, with having big boxing matches and concerts come to town, and that he necessarily his power ranking as far as what he needs in a football season is microphones in his face, 30 miles of whale shit, and then his team being as competitive as they possibly can be.
It's about I think it was in The Founder when Ray Kroc was talking to the McDonald's brothers, right, about how to set up the frame. How do you really make money? It's about the land. Jerry is just getting land. He's getting digital land. He's getting tangible land. He doesn't care what's going on the land. It's about the land. And that also, you know, I'm also very impacted by what he's doing in his personal life, going on a show about oil called Landman and acting his ass off. That's the real Jerry. They didn't give him acting lessons. He shot from the hip and said, this is how I operate. And that told me everything I needed to know. You want to make a splash as an NFL owner on the big screen? You tell the truth. And I think that's what he did. And he was sincere about it. That he loves working with his kids. He doesn't give a shit what the product is. He has a good time making memories. And that's where I'm at. Cultivating a multi-generation wealth empire in Texas.
Nathan Farley said, moving around lockers is the limit of his power as a head coach. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. And if you would have told me that the Cowboys, like the gap between Dallas and Washington and Philadelphia, the arms race was always Dallas and Philly. Tour, then the Giants were there. Think about the gap in between DC, Philly, and those bottom two teams in that division. It has never been this wide. Probably my life.
They made every wrong decision. They chose Mike McCarthy over Dan Quinn. They let Dan Quinn get to Washington. They kept McCarthy for a season too long. They extended Dak and CD too late for way too much. Yeah. Every decision is wrong. And whatever they do with Micah, pay him, trade him, don't barter with him, whatever it is, it's going to be the wrong decision. The way that it's just shaken out, they are on a tremendous cold streak. People are calling it out. I see people trashing the Cowboys all the time. They're not doing enough. People know that it's happening, but it still doesn't feel like it's a big enough story. It's almost like we're all kind of blind to the fact that America's team is truly crumbling here. Maybe I'm still holding out hope that they can show up at WrestleMania, turn heel, look strong, look big and bad. They won't. They won't, and they haven't for a long time.
I know they had to replace Zach Martin retiring, but imagine if they got Golden, or there's just so many options they could have had to give another sports car to that offense. It really just shows me that I think that they're comfortable with just constantly being at the top of the ticker for whatever the reason is. Great stuff this week. Good to see you, Gigantor. Congratulations on your big feud that you now started between me and Mike. You will be the powder keg, the Archduke Ferdinand. That's you in the radio war, the great radio war.
Let it be known, I am a DC radio mark. I have listened to Shude for years on the radio. If I had a power ranking of DC sports talk radio personalities,
stop it.
One, it's Eric Bickle.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Two, it's Cakes.
Oh, you motherfucker.
And then Shude slotted right in at three. He's on my Mount Rushmore.
I mean, it's going to take a long time to walk this off, I got to say. I wasn't expecting this.
I haven't heard of Mike O'Mara on the radio. I listened to Shude.
Never?
That's what I listened to.
You never did?
No, I don't know what I'm doing right now.
Where's Holden Kushner, for God's sakes? Come on. Where's Chris Russell? All right, let's move along. Go follow us on iTunes and Spotify. You can subscribe for FREE, and of course, right here on YouTube.com/Chad Dukes Show. We'll be here hopefully every week. We'll see how it goes. All right. Usually, I ask Tor whether his penis is short or long here, but we all know the answer to that.
Hey, what do you got?
Both types of sports.
Yeah, what's it do? Go long. Real long. Nice toss.
Both types of sports.